This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to Place to Be Nation's Main Event, a roundtable experience looking at today's pro wrestling landscape. And now, here's your host, Scott Criscolo.
Place to Be Nation, we are on the road to San Antonio. Welcome to your home for everything modern day flamethrower. Place to Be Nation's Main Event, episode 68, and kind of a special week for us here because we're taping on Wednesday, as we always do. 2 days ago, on the 23rd, not only January 23rd, 1984, of course, was the 33rd anniversary of the birth of Hulkamania in the WWE, but it was the three-year birthday of this show, thanks to a member of the Core Four, Mr. Steve Willey. 3 years ago, January 23rd, 2014, we did the very first Main Event. And 67 episodes later, we're still here. And what I like about tonight's show is we have a little old, a little new. We have a kid making his debut tonight on any podcast here on the Place to Be Network, which is awesome. And then we dug an old Core 4 fossil out of the scrap heap. Dusted him off, but he's always one of my favorites. Let's bring everybody in. First off, the newbie. If you've seen PlaceToBeNation.com, you've seen his name mostly on sports articles. He's done a few wrestling pieces, but mostly on some sports articles, mostly some baseball stuff with my very good friend Joel Barnhart. Welcome from deep in the heart of Texas. I don't know how close he is to San Antonio, Mr. Chris Jordan. Chris, welcome to the Main Event.
Good evening, Mr. Scott. How are you doing, sir?
I am well. Welcome to Main Event. Welcome to Place to Be Nation. It's an honor to have you with us on the website. You've done some great stuff, and it's an honor to have you here on your first podcast.
Thank you for having me. I do appreciate the time and getting this in and popping that podcast cherry.
That's right. A lot of cherries are popped here on the Main Event, mostly by Jordan Duncan. And everyone knows that giggle. Everyone knows that giggle. He is a veteran, and every time I bring in a rookie, I got to bring in my Don Zimmer. He is, of course, a member of the Core Four. You can hear him all over Place to Be Nation, and of course, he is the co-host of the NBA Team Podcast with Mr. Adam Murray. Those two fuckers better get the Lakers to lose every game from here on out because I'm not letting the fucking Celtics have the number one pick in the draft, Mr. Andrew Reich.
Well, if they tank hard enough, they can keep the Sixers from stealing the pick this year.
Well,
then they eventually, the next one would be an automatic steal. Like the Sixers would automatically take that pick.
Right, but the Nets are
god awful, and the Celtics have the right to swap, so they would obviously take that pick. So yeah, a little bit of tankerificness going on, but that's the NBA side of things. Back here with the wrestling. And 3 years later, and like we always say, Scott, you can't kill bad grass.
You could smoke some bad grass, though. Oh!
Well, it's definitely bad down here.
Mr. Reich, always a pleasure, sir. It's been a while since I've had you on the Main Event. And
oh, yeah.
Good news for you, my friend. WrestleMania 34 is in your backyard, so Ben Morse will be sleeping in your hammock again.
Very surprised. Like, I know that there's like a rumor that it's kind of going to be in a 4-city, 5-city rotation, starting with how it went with WrestleMania 30. And I totally did not expect them to come around that quickly. But you know, maybe the revenue and the fact that it's a really good tourist destination just kind of got him back into. They also said it has to do with the fact that the city of New Orleans itself is going through
tricentennial.
Yeah, like some type of hundreds of years worth of celebration. I can't remember the number of years. I'm a terrible New Orleanian historian, but something like that they're going to add to it, and just a great excuse to try to get WrestleMania back here, and it worked.
I believe it's like a four. I think it's a. I think technically, Reich, the rotation started at WrestleMania 29. the one that I and most of Place to Be Nation was at MetLife. I think they want to do Northeast, Southeast, West Coast, Texas, Southwest-ish, and then other, like a floating one.
Now, go ahead. Like Jerry's World makes sense. Like
you Jerry's World make back. A lot of sense.
Yeah.
This year, I'm kind of surprised he went back to Orlando. Obviously, they were there for WrestleMania 24, and you remember there was a lot of issues with weather, rain during the was it the ladder match, the Money in the Bank match? Is that when it rained? And then, of course, they had the fireworks incident where Taker almost got burned and that woman's hair caught fire or some fucking nonsense.
And then, didn't they have the bra and panties match with Snoop Dogg where, like, the wind really kicked up really hard?
Yeah.
And the dresses were flying all over the place.
The weather was not cooperative that day in Orlando, but it will be there in a couple of months. Next year, obviously, in your neck of the woods, WrestleMania 35, I bet you it's going to be either Philly. I think it'll go back to MetLife.
Maybe Minnesota. Maybe the new stadium in
Minnesota. The new buildings. That's where the Super Bowl is next year. Now, Chris, you're from Bryan, Texas. Where in the general vicinity is Bryan? Which are you near the Metroplex or are you near Houston? What part of Texas are you closest to?
I'm smack dab in the middle of a triangle with Dallas at the north. That's about a 3-hour ride. San Antonio to the west, and about another 3 hours there, and I'm about 2 hours north of Houston. I was within driving distance of WrestleMania up in Jerry World there, but I couldn't make it.
Right.
But yeah, you know, I'm going to regret that. Let me have it. Yeah, they already let me have it for missing out on the big party when they were all up there.
Well, I mean, Nick Duke, you could introduce yourself to him now, hung out with him all day, and then he wouldn't know who the hell you were. Or you'd still be there because WrestleMania 32 is now on its 370th day, so you might not have missed it. But now, before we get into the meat and potatoes tonight, Chris, I usually like to talk to my new guests a little bit about their fandom. You know, if you're new to the listening audience, so tell us a little bit about how you became a wrestling fan. When you started watching, who were your first favorite guys? Tell us a little bit about your fandom in wrestling.
So I'm going to age myself a little bit here.
Shut up about fucking aging, will you?
I know that.
depends how old you are. We'll see how old you are, and then we'll decide if you're aging or not. Okay.
Well, I'm from the rock and wrestling era. That's where I got started. I kicked off with actually my first exposure to it was the rock and wrestling cartoon before I even saw an actual wrestling match. Yes, sir.
Wait a minute. How old are you? come on! I'll tell you how. Reach knows how old I am. I'm 43.
Yeah, I'm your age.
I was thinking 63.
Scott, we're blood brothers, and now I'm 43.
Holy shit! I seriously thought you were like 25. Wow, this is fantastic. Reach, I don't need you anymore. You can go.
He's 25 at heart.
Yeah, I'm aging gracefully.
Oh, that's fantastic, man. So you and I are cut from the same cloth. Oh, this is fantastic. All right.
Yeah, so, I mean, before I even saw my first wrestling match, I saw the Hulk Hogan's Rockin' Wrestling cartoon, and that attracted me to actually, my first show I actually watched was the Saturday Night's Main Event where King Kong Bundy squashed Hogan.
Oh, what a tremendous show. Oh.
Yeah, great way to break in.
The Real American video, and that unbelievably politically incorrect racist attack where Mr. T was getting whipped by Piper.
Is that where Fat Sloppy Pig comes from too?
No, Fat Sloppy Pig is from the Halloween special the previous October because Albano won the pie eating contest and then Vince asked him or either Vince or Mean Gene and that's when Jesse says, "Well, that doesn't surprise me because Lou Albano is a big fat sloppy pig." Wow, man. So living down now, you're from. Now you said you grew up in Texas. Did you catch like World Class and like Joe Blanchard, San Antonio? Like, did you catch any local promotions? Local promotions.
Actually, let me backtrack a little bit. I'm from Texas. I'm actually born and raised in Canada, and it took a meeting a woman like Mrs. Jordan to get me moved down here to Texas.
He's just like Ted Cruz.
Wait a minute. You don't even sound Canadian. You don't sound like Aaron George and his weird weird foreign accent.
Yeah, that comes from I got a little bit of a communication background, so they taught me how to neutralize my accent a little bit. You know what I mean?
That's what I was told. Dr. G was told
try to get the regional out of it.
Oh, that's terrible. I was given that Dr. G was given that advice when him and I were in college. The general manager of our college radio station said, "You sound too Brooklyn." I'm like, "Oh my God, we all don't want to sound like we're assholes from New England." Oh my God, or some dick from New Orleans.
I would sound like that kid from the Simpsons episode. They think I'm from Canada. I'm slow away.
So did you watch like World Class on ESPN? Like, did you catch any of that or no?
Well, back in my day, ESPN was, that's when they had AWA on.
Oh, okay. So right. Yep.
On AWA, of course, the WWF, and I even had some exposure to Stampede before they folded. They carried it on TSN up in Canada. Shout out to TSN.
Were you from Calgary?
No, East Coast, Nova Scotia.
Nova Scotia.
Nova Scotia. Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Wait a minute. You're not a Canadiens fan, are you?
No, sir.
Oh, thank God. No, okay. All right, you're okay. You're still doing all right.
I'm one of those rare breeds where I'm not even a hockey fan.
What? Wow, that's weird.
Really?
Wow.
Well, what do you got in Nova Scotia? You know, you don't necessarily have hockey franchises up there.
Ice fishing.
Yeah.
Ice fishing.
Curling.
Chopping wood.
Very fast rocking chair contests.
Did you guzzle orange juice like Steven Regal did when he was a man's man chopping wood? He's a man.
He would watch Kids in the Hall marathons on
Kids in the Hall.
Degrassi Junior High.
Oh, Degrassi! Oh my God! You know, there's like an eighth incarnation of Degrassi. It's on Netflix. I noticed the picture on the screen when I was scrolling others. Like, you know, recently added. It's right next to Fuller House. But yeah, there's like a new Degrassi. But
no
Degrassi
Jerry, Jr. No Joey Jeremiah, no buys.
No buys. No. And what the hell was the guy's name? Viper, lizard, snake, right?
Spike.
And then
Spike and Wheels.
Right, and who was the girl? The girl was what was the girl that she Spike was Spike the girl or Snake was the girl?
Spike was the girl.
I think Spike
was
the girl.
I've never seen Degrassi.
It's one of those. It was one of those. The reason I know about it is because it was on like the PBS station in our area, but it's based out of like Toronto, I think.
Yeah.
But it was one of those, like, it was like the kids' it was like the Canadian version of, like, I don't know.
It was like, I don't know, like, the American equivalent would have been Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, Saved by the Bell, except more serious.
Well, like, except on this.
Yeah, but Saved by the Bell was, like, twice as good.
Right? Oh, Saved by the Bell was definitely twice. The acting was abysmal. And the acting was atrocious, but it talked about stuff like, you know, teenage pregnancy and, you know, kids, you know, coming out and handling homosexuality and I don't know, bulimia and all that kind of stuff. You know, like after, it was a comedy, let's put it this way, it was Saved by the Bell with ABC After School Special kind of thrown in the middle of it as well. In any event, let's not depress the audience. So East Coast, so you weren't really were you a Brett guy? Are you a Brett guy?
Yeah. I'm a Bret Hart fan, you know, the Hart family, an early exposure to them made me a big fan. I caught Brian Pillman early in his career. You remember Bastion Booger, Norman the Lunatic, Mike Shaw.
Mike Shaw, yeah.
He was big.
I can't believe that somebody else on a Place to Be Nation podcast other than Matt Rotella referred to Bastion Booger. Chris Jordan, you are already in the Place to Be Nation Hall of Fame, and you've only been on for like 9 minutes. So it's unbelievable.
I am honored.
I like how you asked him for if he's a Brett guy and he's from Canada. Like, no, he's a Dino Bravo guy. You know.
Well, hey, you know what, Reesh? Laugh if you want, but he is from, you know, him and I are cut from the same octogenarian cloth. So there's nothing wrong with being Dino Bravo guy because Dino Bravo was big back then.
That was like Stephen A. Smith level long word that you just pulled out there.
What, octogenarian?
Yeah, that was impressive. Ugh. It just came out of nowhere.
Oberto! The only thing I like about Stephen A. Smith is when he's in Oberto jerky commercials. Otherwise, he's useless.
Yeah.
All right. So, Chris, again, well, thank you. And, well, again, welcome to the show. And let's dig into the meat and potatoes. You caught a good show tonight to make your debut because we are at the beginning of the 2017 pay-per-view year. And I don't care what they are, network specials, whatever the fuck they are. They're pay-per-views. Sorry. And this weekend is a big weekend in San Antonio because on Sunday, of course, live from the Alamo Dome, 20 years after Shawn Michaels' flu-ridden victory over Psycho Sid and Steve Austin's controversial win, we have the Royal Rumble Sunday at the Alamo Dome. And but before we get to that, we'll do that in the second segment. First off, the night before, kicking it old school, gentlemen, the old Freeman Coliseum, site of this Tuesday in Texas, the 1994 Survivor Series. I think those are the only two main shows. And I guess some Raws probably, and I'm sure there are plenty of old school TV tapings and such. We have NXT TakeOver San Antonio with a very cool logo. It's the Longhorn skull. Chris, have you ever been to a live pay-per-view?
I have not, no sir.
Really?
That is on my bucket list.
Okay.
But I have not had the occasion, no sir.
Oh, okay. Have you been anything live? You been any Raws or house shows or anything like that?
Yeah, last house show, they don't come down here all that often, but about back just this last June, they did a show here at Reed Arena on the campus of Texas A&M University.
College Station, there you go.
Yeah, and okay. it was a good show. The main event was a triple threat: Dean Ambrose, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens. Good show.
Wow, that's pretty awesome. Well, got to get to a pay-per-view then. Very interesting. You know what sucks though? After like, because the early like the new generation era and the early Attitude era, they went to a pay-per-view in Canada a lot. And it seemed like right after Owen died, they kind of avoided Canada like the plague. I would say, let me think. In your house, wait a minute.
Well, there was
Rock
the
Bottom
incident.
Well, no, I'm going past that, way past that.
Okay.
Breakdown was in Hamilton, Cops Coliseum. Rock Bottom was in Vancouver at the GM place. I don't think it was in Canada in 99. I don't think it was in Canada in 2000. I don't think it was in Canada again until WrestleMania 18 at Sky Dome.
Yeah, I don't think 2001 they hosted a show in Canada.
I don't think they did except for Mania.
Yeah.
No Way Out 03 was in Montreal at the Bell Center.
What a weird show.
Yeah, very, very weird show. Very weird show.
Yeah.
There was another show in Montreal. Was it Breaking Point?
You could say Buffalo, New York if you want to cheat.
You could. Yeah, I guess you could. I think, was it Breaking Point 09? I think that was in Montreal too, because I think Aaron George
went.
Well,
SummerSlam 04 was in Toronto.
Oh, SummerSlam 04 was in Toronto, correct.
I'm sorry.
I remember
that. Yeah,
don't forget Backlash 04.
Oh, Backlash 04 was in Edmonton.
Backlash 04. Unforgiven 06 was back in Toronto.
Was Toronto. You're right. What am I thinking? Well, I forgot all these Toronto shows.
Well, they had so many shows. Like, I mean, we're back sort of in the same schedule that 2006 had. The only difference is that they have enough talent to actually stockpile the shows.
We're going to have two shows between now and WrestleMania 33. And they're going to be like 4 weeks apart, which is actually kind of cool, too.
I mean, I enjoy all your reviews on the Place V podcast with Justin, but I bet it had to be brutal doing some of those 06, 07 pay-per-views where you could just tell that how thin the talent was from brand to brand and how
it was
they
bad.
Were just desperately trying to stitch through the shows just to get to WrestleMania.
It was bad. It was bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's weird, Chris, because I don't think – they don't go to Canada barely at all anymore. Just kind of sad because the crowds are hot, you know?
Yeah. Always a hot crowd in Canada, and I really don't understand why either. I mean, the fan base is still obviously there, and very rabid fan base at that. And I don't know, and it goes along the lines that you don't get a whole lot of wrestlers actually being introduced from Canada either these days. I mean, I just don't really have any words to explain what's going on there.
Yeah, I don't know. So weird. Not a lot of journey into Canada. They seem to care more about the UK. They should bring back the Canadian Heavyweight Championship, once held by the great Dino Bravo.
Don't worry, we'll have one in about 5 months.
Good. We need a weekend. We need a weekend Canada tournament.
We're gonna have a Taiwanese champion. We're gonna have a Filipino champion.
T.J. Perkins going that one.
We'll have a Kazakhstan champion.
Kazakhstan.
We'll bring Outback Jack out of mothballs. Put the Australian.
The Australian heavyweight title. Oh, yeah, Outback. See, I love this guy. He's bringing back '80s terminology to '80s wrestler. This is fantastic. All right, let's talk about Saturday night, guys. NXT TakeOver San Antonio. We've got six matches, and all three belts are on the line. The women's title, the tag titles, and of course, the match I'm most looking forward to, the NXT championship match. All right. Rish, how do you think NXT has been since the last TakeOver, which was back in November in Toronto, and then they had those tours in New Zealand and Australia and Japan? How do you think NXT has been since the last TakeOver?
I'm going to be honest. I haven't seen the ones that went back to Full Sail since those overseas shows, the two-hour, you can't call them specials, more like oversized or supersized shows.
They're house shows. They were house shows.
Yeah, Australia and Japan. Now, the one in Japan, which had Shinsuke Nakamura regaining the belt from Joe, the NXT championship, it was a good show. You know, they had a little bit of variety there, but I felt like the one in Australia was just a tad better. I mean, maybe it was the tag match in the middle of the card that was better and sort of showcased a little bit more of the talent, but I can't say much about the actual build-up to this takeover in San Antonio because I honestly haven't seen too many shows outside of just kind of reading the spoilers and, you know, following Twitter and looking at, you know, who won what matches. And the build-up to Rude and Nakamura was pretty obvious. You knew that that was kind of the next step after he beat Ty Dillinger. And you just kind of wondered how quickly they would ascend him up to that point, you know, how quickly they would maneuver Joe out of the way. And I'm kind of fascinated with why. I'm probably going to catch up most of that NXT, going into the Saturday. Unfortunately, for preparation's sake here, I did not. So I can't say too much, you know. But the one thing that has kind of bothered me about the NXT setup with the schedule is that, I don't know about you, but I kind of like the takeovers when it was staggered from the WWE pay-per-view schedule, where you had the bigger shows, but they were not necessarily at the same times as the bigger shows for WWE. And I understand why WWE wants to do that for, you know, a monetary reason. You want to get as many butts in those seats, you know, for the Saturday night before the pay-per-view so that you can get some more tickets, you know, get NXT in bigger arenas. But I do feel like it takes a little bit away from it because you're sort of trying to time up the shows to match up with the WWE product, even though it's separate storylines. And there is a part of it that does seem a little jarred. It seems a little out of sequence.
Mm. Chris, have you been watching NXT? What are your thoughts on since Toronto when Joe beat Nakamura back? Then of course, as Rish mentioned, he won it in Toronto, or he won it in Tokyo, and then they had the cage match in New Zealand. What are your thoughts on the roster and the product in NXT since November?
Yeah, I agree with Andrew on a lot of his points that he made. NXT, for me, it hasn't become a show. It's really become a show that I don't go out of my way to watch live as much as I did. The roster has really thinned out. As far as this match between Nakamura and Rude, there was really no other match for them to make. I really think the main event scene in NXT is kind of dried up right now as far as talent-wise goes. I mean, Joe is obviously being repositioned for a main roster run, so he's out. And so as far as opponents for Nakamura's Rude is the only logical choice because I don't think there's many options left after that.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I'm curious to see. Like, I guess somebody read today, I guess Meltzer, it might have been the Observer or PWI, said that the entire NXT roster will be in the Alamo Dome on Sunday. because you know there's going to be some NXT guys that fill some gaps, and of course every time we hear the buzzer go off, we're going to expect somebody somewhere. But this is a pretty important show. A lot of people think it's flat. I disagree. I like almost every – I pretty much like every match on this card for different reasons. So let's talk about it. Interesting match here. No Way Jose will take on Elias Sampson, who's that goofy drifter, whatever the
I hate Elias Sampson.
I don't even know what the hell that gimmick is. Some dude.
And it's not one of these like I love to hate him. It's like I just don't really like. He just reeks of jobber every time I see him.
He really does reek of jobber. And I like No Way Jose. I know he had to lay down in Brooklyn 2 for Austin Aries.
Austin Aries, I would say, yeah.
Yeah, I think he wins this match. I think it's going to be a good match. I like both workers. I definitely like No Way Jose. I think he's a good character. He's one of those guys that worries me if in terms of call-up, because he's got the same kind of gimmick that Adam Rose had. And Adam Rose's gimmick was great in NXT, but they just took the NXT gimmick and dumped it into WWE without really expanding it, which is what needed to be done. Who do you like in this match, Rish?
I mean, No Way Jose. Like, I mean, it's not like he's got, like, so much forward momentum in the last, like, few months. I don't want to say he's sort of kind of spinning his wheels in NXT. It just feels like they don't. And I hate to say this about any of the NXT talents, because most of the time, Triple H, who everybody knows is, like, the brainchild of it. That's his brainchild, I should say. He's kind of like, his whole idea is like forward thinking, give everyone a narrative, build to something and until, you know, the cycle is finished and then you move them up to the main roster. But this is one of those rare times, like Chris was saying, where you feel like a lot of people are just kind of like in the same positions and they're kind of just sort of in neutral. And I definitely feel that way with No Way Jose. Like, he's not really going up, down, he's just there, you know, but I expect him to win this match and not, you know, lose too much traction. Maybe this will sort of launch him to the next tier, you know, if he, by subtraction of the main eventers in front of him, if they go on the main rosters, then Jose just kind of goes up, what's the word I'm looking for?
Elevate?
Elevation, like addition by subtraction, I guess you could say, you know? Mm-hmm. That kind of a thing. So I think Jose will win. I don't think too many memorable things will come from it. I will say this. I do like when No Way Jose gets super aggressive. Like, he does have that little, like twerk to his character where if things go sideways, he will, like, snap. I've seen that at the house show before that I watched with NXT, which was unbelievably fun, where Jose will just kind of go into some zone. And get, like, really, really active. And that's when I think he's really, really enjoyable. And then he goes back into his, you know, zany character.
Mm-hmm. Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, as far as this Drifter character goes, and I never really understood that gimmick. I always thought he was, like, a moody, brooding, honky-tonk man. Really, So, you know, not much thought for that character. I think Jose takes this match. He's the one who actually has, I guess, momentum going forward. I think with the roster the way it is, they're positioning Jose probably for a possible top of the card run. I think guys like the Drifter and Jose, those guys are probably going to be the future of NXT with, you know, Nakamura getting the inevitable call up. Sometime in here in 2017. So, I got Jose in this match, and it's not even close.
Yeah, I agree. I like No Way Jose in this match as well. Next up, we have an interesting match here. Andre Cien Almas, who has since turned heel. He was a babyface back
wasn't
in the
he always a he- Wasn't he always a heel?
I don't know what he was, to be honest with you. Well, remember, he teamed with Cedric Alexander in the Dusty Classic, and he teamed with in the Dusty Classic, and then turned on him, so I don't know. But he will be taking on one of my favorite old-school ROH guys, Roddy Strong. I think Roddy wins this because I think he is in line for a NXT title run at some point in the next 6 months or so. Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. Strong will take this match. His Ring of Honor background is really, you know, his reputation precedes him as far as NXT, being on the NXT roster goes. Mm-hmm. As far as Almas goes, I've hated this character since day one. I just don't see it. He looks like he's bored, and maybe he probably won't be long for the NXT roster, even the WWE roster at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So really, yeah, just give this one a Strong, and like you said, position him towards a main event run.
I think Roddy Strong is one of the most important acquisitions Triple H got for NXT and for the company. He's an ROH veteran. He's a veteran of the indies. But he doesn't come off as an indie guy, and he's an unbelievably awesome worker. So I think he is a great addition, and he wins this match. And because, you know, it's funny. I think there are some guys, everybody thinks NXT is all like superstars that got to get called up, but you got to have some Iron Mike Sharps in NXT. And I think Andre Almas is one of them. But I think Roddy, yeah, and I think Roddy Strong wins. Interesting match here. We've got Eric Young, who is heading up the Sanity faction, taking on Ty Dillinger, another guy who everyone's rumored to see on Sunday. I hate to see Ty Dillinger job, but I don't think Eric Young's going to lose. I see this ending in a schmoz with the other two big behemoths and Nikki Cross kind of running in, and I could see this ending in a schmozzy DQ. I hate doing that to NXT matches because we hate seeing the WWE treatment done, but I can't see Ty Dillinger lose. I can't see either of these guys losing clean. So I'm going to say Ty Dillinger wins by DQ because I think the two big behemoths of Sanity will probably run in at some point and cause a problem. What do you think, Reesh?
Well, are they playing at all into the storyline the possibility that maybe Ty Dillinger will join Sanity? Because he just can't get over the fact that he can't win he can't break through the glass ceiling kind of thing. Because I know they were hinting at that after he had lost to Rude at the last takeover. So I'm not sure where that storyline has evolved. Maybe like a mini Daniel Bryan Bray Wyatt thing. You know, where they sort of Ty Dillinger tries to get into Sanity's heads or something like that. But Sanity's one of those groups where, you know, a loss, you know, by DQ wouldn't hurt them. So I don't really think that a DQ schmoz type of thing, like you're saying, would be hurtful. You know, especially in a show like this where, you know, Eric Young wrestling and whether he wins or loses is like a super big deal. So if it happens that way, it's fine. My prediction would be that Eric Young wins via help. So...
okay. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, I would lean towards that. I think EY, I think he'll win the match. Basically, I think the Sanity thing has some legs to it. So I can't see Eric Young going down the loss just early in the time frame for Sanity. Ty Dillinger's the kind of guy he'll probably... he has the backing of the crowd, and I think his character, the gimmick he has, is just... it's over. And... basically, what he's got is his position on the card. He's enhancement for the other talent. He'll help the other guy look good, and he's probably willing to job, you know, to put the other guy over. So
he's like an upper level enhancement guy. Where
right.
if you beat him, you look really good. You don't just look like you're moving up. You're like going to the next step. You know.
Yeah, exactly. Ty, he's got it in the ring. You know, he's got it, and he's got charisma, and he seems to be the kind of guy that's willing to sacrifice his overness to put another guy over. And I just really think that that's the reason why Eric Young's going to take it. And I wouldn't put it beyond Sanity to get involved in the match, probably to push it over a little bit.
Okay, I have a feeling we're going to see a schmoz, but we'll see. All right, time to get into the upper half of the card. The three title matches will begin with the NXT Women's Championship, a fatal four-way. Your champion, my girl Asuka. Nobody beat Asuka. I love her. Taking on Nikki Cross, the female psychopath of Sanity, as well as Billie Kay and Peyton Royce. Not a Peyton Royce fan, frankly. I have a feeling this is a I mean, I'm, let's put it this way. On the surface, it looks like that it's a way for Asuka to drop the belt without getting pinned. It's not an elimination match. And for Billy Kay to win it, for her to end up jobbing it to Ember Moon, because I think the belt is essentially going to go on Ember Moon. So I'm going to say Billy Kay wins it here, wins the championship, and she'll go on to take over Orlando and lose to Ember Moon. So I like Billy Kay here to win the title and pin like Nikki Cross or something, or pin her own partner Peyton Royce or something like that, and she wins the title, and Asuka will be. She'll get a rematch in Orlando or something, and then we'll see her on the roster after WrestleMania. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. I think there's not really much left for Asuka to do in NXT, so it's time to move her up. I can see her dropping the title here in this Fatal 4-Way. I can't really say to who. I'm not a fan of Billy Kay, Peyton Royce, really. Nikki Cross might take it because of the whole sanity thing. But yeah, I agree that Asuka is probably going to make that post-WrestleMania Raw surprise appearance and just move up into the stratosphere from there.
Yeah, I don't think it's a surprise that Asuka's the only babyface. Is she even a babyface, though? It's almost like four heels. And Asuka turned babyface because she was jumped by these girls. Reesh, what do you think? How do you think it's going to play out?
I think this is a slam dunk for Asuka. I don't see any way of her losing the belt or the women's championship at this point. Like I was saying, you know, you time these takeovers now where they lead into the bigger shows. So, you know, Asuka won the belt from Bayley at the takeover in Dallas leading up to WrestleMania 32. It would just make sense, you know, from a like a symmetry standpoint, I guess you could say,
mm-hmm.
so that you have Asuka, you know, retain the belt in this four-way where, you know, for Billy Kay and the other one is Peyton Royce.
Peyton Royce.
Like, I like Billy Kay's, like charisma. I don't really care for her in the ring. I think she's bad. You know, Peyton Royce is kind of, like, a little bit of the opposite. Like, her in-ring stuff's okay. Her character's kind of blah. The one I like is actually conspicuous by her absence is Liv Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where, you know, I mean, she's not perfect either. You know, she can't do a good hurricanrana to save her life. But it's you know, but you got her not in the fold for this four-way. So you might want to think, okay, they're kind of protecting her so that they can build her to a match against Asuka at TakeOver in Orlando. Or, like you said, Ember Moon, who's just going to be a big deal for NXT down the line. So this is just like we were saying, just another kind of spinning your wheels type of title defense. You know, I don't see any kind of like, you know, landmines here for Asuka to like possibly lose without getting pinned. And I just don't see it. So I think Asuka's going to win pretty easily.
Okay. So we got some differing here. You and I, Chris, like somebody to beat Asuka. I like Billy Kay. Do you agree with Billy Kay, or do you think someone else wins a belt? Chris?
Oh, yeah, sure. No, sorry about that.
No, that's okay.
No, I thought maybe Nikki Cross might have a crack at it. I think you know, they might be taking sanity into like main event stable kind of, you know, elevation there. I think a good way to do it is start giving them some belts. But, you know, I was actually originally leaning towards Asuka retaining, but now with the four-way setup, after, you know, thinking about it, yeah, it could be an out to get the belt off of her. But, and, you know, in the case they don't, I mean, the obvious build after this would be Asuka and Ember Moon, obviously, but if anyone takes it, other than Asuka, it should be, I think, Nikki Cross.
Okay, so we got three different choices. You like Nikki Cross. Reesh, you like Asuka to retain, and I like... I think Billy Kay wins because I think Ember Moon wins it at Mania. All right, next up, a very different NXT Tag Team Championship match. Your champions, DIY, Johnny Gargano, Johnny Wrestling, and the Psycho Killer, Tommaso Ciampa. Remember, I was talking on one of the last main events, Reesh. I was talking to, I had JD on. And remember, I was listening to an old main event, and I had no idea who Ciampa was at the time. He was still in ROH, and I kept calling him Chumpy. Remember I was calling him Chumpy? The fucking, or Chompy, the droid or the robot?
Chompy.
Or was
Chompy. I remember Chompy.
Chompy.
Yeah.
So now I know how to say his name. Yes. So it's Ciampa and Gargano, DIY, taking on the Authors of Pain. Everyone thinks that I should be jumping on this bandwagon because they're like, just because Paul Ellering manages them, that they're Road Warriors. No, I'm not doing that. Because the last time I did that was when I jumped on Ascension's bandwagon as the network launched, and look what the hell happened to them. The best tag team in the company is The Revival, so they're not even on the show, which is a fucking tragedy. But another kind of painted into another corner. I can't see DIY dropping the straps this fast, but you're not going to have the Authors of Pain lose clean. So I see a double DQ, 20-minute brawl, because I don't know how. I mean, we don't really know anything about these guys, about these two guys in Authors of Pain. I mean, they're not Hawk and Animal, that's for fucking sure. I don't know. Reesh, what do you think? I can't see DIY dropping the straps so soon after winning them in Toronto. But I can't see after the Authors of Pain won the tournament clean that they're going to job clean here. I hate to keep booking these schmazes, but...
They put themselves in a booking dilemma. And you know, you could say it's a good one, where you have like DIY, Gargano, Ciampa, and they've gained a lot of momentum, you know, a lot of a great following. You know, me and my friend Ryan, we love Gargano and Ciampa. That's like our favorite.
Well, DIY is awesome. Yes.
I mean, Revival's awesome too. Okay. I mean, they had great matches. I'm not saying one team's better than the other, you know, but they both have a uniqueness that you just absolutely love when you watch them wrestle, whether it be against each other or against other teams. They make the other teams look better. The Authors of Pain are not like something where they're trying to like stuff it down your throat. A lot of people felt that way when they won the Dusty Classic.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I really do enjoy them. Like, I like when they kind of get into their sort of dominant mode. And I do think there's a realistic possibility that they will win the belts. And then you have the return match with the Authors of Pain holding the titles at the next takeover and kind of build to that, you know. And it would play into the idea of, you know, DIY, do it yourself. You know, if you want to win these titles back, you've got to do it yourself. So,
right.
You know, and that kind of build up this idea of, okay, I guess it's sort of the Rocky III vibe of like, okay, you got knocked down, you got to find a way to get back up and beat this like super dominant team, you know, that. And it would be kind of weird if the Authors of Pain actually lost clean, and, you know, and then they have a return match and then DIY has to prove themselves again against the Authors of Pain. You know, there's a lot of ways they can go with it booking-wise, but I do see the realistic possibility of the Authors of Pain winning the titles, and I'll actually just go in that direction and say that they will win the titles.
Okay. Chris, what do you think? First of all, Chris, before you answer that, I didn't ask you this before. Who's your favorite tag team of all time?
Of all time?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's got to be the Hart Foundation, man.
Okay. That's my PIC's favorite tag team of all time. Very interesting. Okay. Yeah. Mine is the Road Warriors. Just curious about that. All right, what do you think? How do you think this match is going to play out?
Well, I'm not on the Office of Pain boat just yet. I don't. They haven't really impressed me in the ring all that much. I mean, yeah, they're big, but I think it's. I don't think it's too soon to put any kind of belts around them. But you never know with DIY. I mean, I love DIY. Probably the hottest team in wrestling right now. But I can't see DIY dropping the belts just yet. The Office of Pain, at the same time, I still think it's too soon to job them out either. So I this can go either way, really. The Office of Pain are a team that, you know, if Vince eyeballs them, he's going to love them, and he's going to want to shoot them up to the main roster real quick. You know, Vince loves the big guys, right?
Yeah, and that'll obviously be a colossal mistake, because these guys are. I mean, these guys are even less ready than the Ascension was. Look what the hell happened to them.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, I'm not convinced that the Authors of Pain are going to get the titles just yet. But at the same time, this thing, it could probably end up in a four-way brawl, spill out of the ring, everybody gets counted out, we set up for a rematch, maybe put the belts on the Office of Pain then, but I really don't, I can't see this ending any other way other than DI walking out with the belts in some form or fashion.
Okay. I don't know here. I think the match will end up in some kind of a double count out, double DQ. I don't see either team jobbing. So I think I hate to say that about both. Well, I do think there'll be a title change, but I mean, no one cares. If there's any schmazes in the earlier matches, no one's going to care. But I have a feeling this is going to end in kind of a mess, and I think we'll see if the Authors of Pain do win the belts. I have a feeling they'll win them at Full Sail on like a regular TV show.
And it would lend to the personality of the Authors of Pain to do so. Like you love the Road Warriors where – well, let's be honest. How many Road Warriors matches do you remember that ended in a clean finish?
Well, that's like, true, yeah. Other than jobber squashes, none. Right.
Like when Authors of Pain had that match, I think it was the Dusty Classic. Wasn't that the one where Paul Ellering was in the shark cage, which we'll refer to later?
Yeah, that was that was the title match against the
– Yeah, and they dropped the knock.
Australian
it's like,
guys,
oh,
yes.
It was just so NWA Road Warriors. It was like, oh, of course. You know,
yeah,
but,
yep.
But and that kind of feels like that with Authors of Pain, that you know, Triple H likes to like sort of inject his little like, you know, like Southern tag team wrestling isms into the Authors of Pain while they're dominating and doing squash stuff, you know.
And he's got his Southern tag team awesomeness in the Revival. I mean, they're, as I've said, they're Tully and Arn 2017. So, all right, now the main event, the match I'm most looking forward to, the glorious main event. My guy, the glorious Bobby Roode, is getting his long-awaited NXT Championship match against our champion, Shinsuke Nakamura. I know a lot of people are torn on this because there's two schools of thought with Bobby Roode here. Number one, Bobby Roode wins here, is the heel NXT champion, until you find a babyface to beat him at NXT TakeOver Orlando. Or he holds it until sometime in the spring. Or Nakamura holds on to it because Roode is only here just to kind of get some interesting title matches and then we see him on the roster fairly quickly. So there's two schools of thought in this match. I kind of like the former, but I don't have a problem with the latter. It's just a question of which guy goes to the roster first. And if Nakamura does lose the title on Saturday, do we see him on Sunday? Because I'm sure, you know, he does get a contracted rematch, which sometimes they play up and sometimes they don't. Chris, does Bobby Roode walk out of San Antonio with the title or not?
He does not.
Okay.
I think Roode, as we said earlier, Roode was really the only option for Nakamura as far as the main event title match goes, but I think they're going to try and stretch this out just a little bit, probably till the pre-WrestleMania takeover, at which point you may see Roode walk out with the title. Then I think they're intent on keeping Nakamura just down just a little bit longer and just for Roode to get his legs under him a little bit more with this gimmick. I think Roode's the guy eventually to carry NXT in the post-Nakamura world. But as far as San Antonio goes, no, I think Shinsuke Nakamura is going to walk out with the belt held high.
Okay. Rish, what do you think?
I like those options that you throw out there because you could either – like now, AJ Styles didn't go to NXT at all when he went to the –
No.
He went straight into the main roster when he debuted at the Royal Rumble. But it, like I like that train of thought of like, well, maybe you know Nakamura drops the belt. This is it for him in NXT. And then he enters the Rumble. He's a surprise entry. And that kind of like is his like doorstep for you know getting into the main roster and sort of settling in. And then there's the Finn Balor way, which is where you keep him on the NXT, you let him kind of like stay in there, simmer, and then you bring him in, you know, when he feels a little bit more prepared, a little more well done. So I do like the idea that maybe the result of the NXT is influenced by the Rumble and needing that kind of like surprise, who's the NXT, who's the new debut guy. I don't think any of that will be in the works for this Royal Rumble when it comes to the top NXT talents. So I just see a straight match here. I don't expect too much politicking going on about who's moving up the ladder and all that stuff. I just see a straight match. I think Nakamura is going to win. I think the most important part here, and like I said, I haven't seen the build-up shows since, and I have to correct myself, New Zealand, because I can say it Australia,
They were in Melbourne. No, they were in Melbourne.
They were in Melbourne.
They were
okay,
in Melbourne,
so
yeah.
Again.
The show was
okay,
they were in New Zealand. They were in New Zealand, but the televised show was in Melbourne.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I could not remember where the fuck they were.
Somewhere in the middle of the fucking ocean. They were in Nova Scotia. So.
Nova Scotia. But anyways, like, I felt like it would be a little difficult, you know, for them to build up, even though they've done a good job of building up Bobby Roode as like a threat, like a guy who can be a champion, who has the, you know, who's glorious and all that stuff, and he does that so great. But like, how can he really challenge Nakamura? They did a really good job with Joe, because Joe was already established when Nakamura got in. Like, Joe was already the badass of NXT. He was the bully on the yard. Whereas with Bobby Roode, he's kind of more of the preppy. To steal it from Saved by the Bell with Slater. Like, he's sort of the guy who's trying to challenge Nakamura. Nakamura's the big boy in the yard. And I don't know if they're going to be able to build Bobby Roode all the way up to the point where people really think he might win the title. So they need that little bit of, suspicion that they might move Nakamura and all that stuff to make him think that Bobby Roode will win the belt from him. But I just see a straight match here, and I think Nakamura's just going to win. And we move forward into WrestleMania, the pre-WrestleMania NXT's takeover, and kind of go that way, kind of like Chris was saying.
Okay. I mean, yes, I'd love to see Bobby Roode be NXT champion, yes, but I would also like to see Bobby Roode be the world champion, too. So part of me seems to think that Nakamura does retain, but part of me does think that Bobby Roode wins it. We still get our contracted rematch before WrestleMania, and Nakamura could win it back. We get very weird with like semantics and that kind of thing. We seem to think that only title changes can happen on these 4 years. And I have a feeling, Reesh, that we will see extra NXT shows. They're not just going to do four takeovers every year.
Yeah,
I have a feeling.
I think that was purposely done with the title change in Japan, not just because it's in Japan and Nakamura is the star of the show and you want him to go out the winner, but just kind of like Joe winning in that very random building they were in, I think it was Massachusetts.
It was Lowell.
Right?
They were in Lowell.
Yeah, it was just very random. Like, oh, he's the champ. He just won. Like, I think there's kind of like there's a fun factor to that. Like, it's like that old timey, you know. And you and Chris will get this because it was in the early 90s. Like the idea that you would just watch a Saturday morning at WWF show and you just found out, oh, this guy just won the championship at a house show.
Yep.
You know.
Oh,
there's always
Bret Hart.
Bit of a, yeah. There's always a little bit of a, like a surprise factor to that. And I think Triple H sort of like, you know, embedded that in. You know, just to keep people on their toes, you know?
Yep. No, I agree. So that's why I think Bobby Roode will win the NXT Championship on Sunday, and I think he loses it before WrestleMania, because I still think you'll see him on the roster the day after WrestleMania. I think he gets promoted.
I'll give you another thing that I was thinking about. How about you have, you know, just kind of as a mind game, have Bobby Roode be introduced with the violinist and have Nakamura come out with the choir? That would be funny.
that is funny. So there's your NXT TakeOver card, San Antonio, this Saturday night on the WWE Network. Guys, awesome job. We'll take a break here on Place to Be Nation's main event. When we come back, we will go to Sunday. We'll go to the Alamo Dome, and we'll talk about the Royal Rumble. We got some title matches. We got I got to say, guys, probably one of the most stacked Rumbles in a long time. A lot of options for a winner. We don't know where the hell anything's going to happen. Because don't forget, we not only have one, but two pay-per-views before WrestleMania 33. So God only knows what the hell's going to happen between now and April 2nd, but it starts on Sunday night. More with Chris, with Reesh, myself, after this.
You want to let the newbie say it?
He doesn't know what to say. And frankly, neither do you.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Voice of Ring of Honor's Kevin Kelly here. I just want to make sure you're all subscribed to all of our great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. Now, it's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search for and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation Wrestling Feed, Place to Be Nation Pop Feed, Pro Wrestling Only Feed, and, of course, the Kevin Kelly Show Feed, which includes the full archives of my podcast. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And of course, as always, enjoy all the great action of Ring of Honor Wrestling and everything presented to you on PlaceToBeNation.com.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rizzero here, and I want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com, and we offer them to you across two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, you can check out Scott Criscolo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast with our famous vintage wall pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with the smash hit Clotheslines and Headlines, our steady veteran main event, and the beloved monthly pay-per-view reaction shows with immediate feedback on all pro wrestling super shows. Relive wrestling's past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series led by Ben Morse, the always contentious Dangerous Alliance podcast, and, Survey Says, a fun look back at the good, bad, and ugly of WCW. On our very popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, NBA Team, Lucha Undead, Geek and Sassy, and a veritable podcast heaven for comic fans with hard-traveling fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, and Imaginary Stories. Subscribe to both of those feeds on iTunes and rate and leave feedback for us as well. All of these shows plus others available at PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free Place to Be Vintage Vault Refresh eBooks via the links on the right-hand side of our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island and Fall River, Massachusetts, TheHistoryOfWrestling.com, and Scott Keith's Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
The PWO PTBN feed has changed its name. Now it will be known simply as Pro Wrestling Only. So it should be easier to find and indeed to say. All of your favorite shows are still here, including Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Kayfabe, Titans of Wrestling, Tag Teams Back Again, This Week in Wrestling, and many, many more, including our full archives of tremendous content. So make sure you subscribe to the Pro Wrestling Only feed today.
Welcome back, Fleet of the Nation, to episode 68 of the main event. Scott Criscolo with Chris Jordan and Andrew Reich. We just previewed NXT TakeOver San Antonio. We will head to Sunday in the Alamo Dome for the Royal Rumble. But first, PlaceToBeNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. The newest episode of Letters from Kayfabe, episode 19. Alan and Parv dig a bit of trivia into this week's mailbag. Non-filmed title changes, longest tenured WWF employees, and acknowledged retirements. The event center with JR, the 1992 Royal Rumble. The long topic, favorite jobbers. Oh man, I wish I was on that show. Newest episode of Letters from Kayfabe is up. Lucha Undead, You Don't Know Sam from We Don't Know. You Don't Know Sam from We Don't Know Wrestling, but you can get to know the real man behind the most of hottest taking banterific podcast to come out of wrestling's Twitter darkest corners. Timothy is with him, the newest episode of Lucha Undead. Newest installment of the excellent WWE Network adventure, the May 11th, 1985 Saturday night's main event, the very first one. The very first one. So check that one out. Of course, we sit down, we watch it, the gang of Merry Misfits, and we do some different comments and such. If you checked it out, great. Continue checking it out. If you haven't yet, please do. We have the full back catalog. So the newest installment of the excellent WWE Network adventure, the May 11th, 1985 Saturday night's main event. Glenn Butler with his Wednesday walk around the web, the Seinfeld PTV series rewatch, The Susie, season 8, episode 15. I can't believe these guys are still doing it. JR's in my Vintage Vault refresh. We have the May 16th, 1994 episode of Monday Night Raw. Mr. Brian Bayless with your Raw rundown from Monday night. Our vantage point number 15, televised house shows, Hall of Fame, AWA All-Star Wrestling, 6/23/83 review, and plenty more. So check it out. PlaceToBeNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. Check out our ebook publications that JR and I have done. Go on Amazon. go through the Place to Be Nation link or click placemenation.com/Amazon. Buy whatever you'd like. If you got any gift cards from the holidays, use them, and then we get a little piece back to help run the site. So please do that. Placemenation.com, your home for everything pop culture. All right, guys, let's go to Sunday night, Alamo Dome, San Antonio. Seems like every 10 years we're in San Antonio. 1997, Shawn Michaels and the flu-ridden world title win over Sid, and Steve Austin, the controversial Rumble victory. Then 10 years later, The Undertaker wins his first Royal Rumble and, of course, goes on to WrestleMania 23 and defeats Batista in one of my favorite unheralded world title matches of all time.
That's an underrated good show.
It's a tremendous – WrestleMania 23 or the 07 Rumble?
The 07 Rumble.
07 Rumble is a very good show, yes.
Yeah.
As is WrestleMania 23. And which is funny, Rish, because you and I were we were talking about 06, 07 pay-per-views being moderately bad. But those two shows, actually, the 07 Rumble
They were kind of like – everything kind of culminated starting in January, even though No Way Out is trash. But yeah, Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, and Backlash are excellent.
Yes.
You know.
All right. We have two pre-show matches because it's a 7-hour pre-show and then a 14-hour pay-per-view. So here you go. plenty of time. No, the pre-show starts at 5, and the pay-per-view proper begins at 7.
It starts literally just as WrestleMania ends. So it's like we never end WrestleMania.
Exactly. It's nonstop. So Chris, if you get to Jerry's World now, you may make it. So and then get to the Rumble. Get to San Antonio. All right. Two shows on the pre-show. The WWE Raw Tag Team Championships, otherwise known as the Nickel Belts now. Of course, actually, they're both nickel belts, I guess, but these are the red nickel belts. Your champions, still, Cesaro and Sheamus, taking on a team that probably should have won the belts about 14 times in the last 5 months. Gallows and Anderson, the Bullet Club, or the club. I think Cesaro and Sheamus win it. I think Gallows and Anderson are cooked, unfortunately. I think they'd be good singles guys at this point. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. I love Cesaro and Sheamus as a team, man. I've always loved them. Go dating back to their match 7 of their Best of 7 series. That was a hell of a match. And I just love the idea of the two guys as a team. Anderson and Gallows, yeah, that ship has sailed. There's nowhere to go but down for these guys. And, I think Luke Gallows, he's one of the worst in-ring performers I've seen, on the current roster. And there's absolutely no reason why Cesaro and Sheamus should not walk out with the belts on this one.
Okay, Rish?
Yeah, the club's just one of those situations where, like, you take him away from AJ and it doesn't work. And, they tried to carry themselves, doing all those jokey skits where they, when they would talk about Biggie's balls and when they, when they basically tried to split the atom with on the post and all that stuff. It's just like, you could tell Carl Anderson and Doc Gallows are like trying their best with the material that they had, but they weren't really capable of making it any more than what it was, which was a stupid jokey Raw skit. Mm-hmm. Which raw writers, let's be honest, are pretty bad at, and wrestling wise, they're fair. That's the one problem with the club is that they were supposed to be like the badasses from Japan. They're not really. They're just kind of like another team, And with Sheamus and Cesaro, they kind of packed that like superstar punch, superstar duo guys who weren't friends, and now they find a way to compliment each other, kind of thing. A little bit of Team Hell No, would you kind of say that? Just a little touch. Of it.
Oh, easily. Oh, I don't deny that. I don't think that's a secret. I think it is a touch of hell no. Yeah.
Yeah, but kind of like different style, obviously, because they don't wrestle like Daniel Bryan and Kane did, But yeah, I don't see Sheamus and Cesaro dropping the belts here. No way.
Okay. And secondly, a singles women's match. We have former Raw Women's Champion Sasha Banks taking on Nia Jax. I think Nia Jax wins. Because I think she's going to be a future opponent for Bayley. So I think Nia Jax wins here. I don't know if she wins clean. I don't know if Charlotte helps, but I think Nia Jax wins.
Nia Jax wins. Yeah. It makes sense because, Sasha winning, first of all, if you go by the old format way, the person who's on top you know, go on the go home show is the one who drops. So, like, of course, Sasha goes on top on Nia Jax, gets the upper hand because she's going to lose at the, you know, the pay per view kind of thing. So, if you go by that, then Sasha loses. But I thought Sasha was going to lose anyway. So, and it's not like Sasha's like going down a level, it's to elevate Nia Jax. You know, I feel like Sasha's protected to the point where it's really hard to hurt her, like, in terms of her standing. Would you agree? Where she's at a point where she can elevate another women's wrestler and not bring herself down?
Yeah, I... Sorry. Probably not. I think it'll be... I'm curious to see how Sasha can handle that size. You know, Nia's a, you know... I hate to be mean about it, and I'm not really being mean about it. It's a fact. She's a big girl. She's got a lot of, you know, strength, and she's different than Charlotte, obviously. And Sasha's pretty much wrestled her exclusively for the last, you know, 5 months.
Yeah.
So I just think you're gonna see not because I think this match is gonna have some teeth to it because they are gonna have time. I mean, they can't fill 2 hours of Jerry Lawler and those guys and their bullshit. So. Yeah. I think this match will be a solid 10-11 minutes, and I think Nia Jax is going to shove Sasha around, and I think you can get a clean win out of this, and Sasha wouldn't hurt her. I think she's bulletproof at this point.
Like a knee bar where she wins by forfeit or something like that.
Exactly, she passes out, some kind of nonsense like that. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, Nia Jax has this. So she's clearly being elevated to the next level. Sasha having already been there. Not a bad choice to get her there. The one thing that bothers me about Nia Jax, though, I mean, she's the monster of the Raw Women's Division, and that can take her pretty far, but they need to have her work on her promo delivery a little bit, because every time she speaks on the mic, it's kind of cringeworthy, and it feels rehearsed, or she's memorizing a script, or something like that, and it's just... It's kind of rubbed me the wrong way with her. I think she has, you know, the goods in the ring to hang with, you know, the elite of the women's division. But they either need to not let her talk and just be a monster, or have her work on that delivery because I think it's brutal.
Mm. Yeah, I think so too. She does need some work. On the mic, and that's going to be a big deal down the stretch when she comes a number one contender after WrestleMania, which is, I think, what's going to happen. So, all right, let's go to the show proper. We will begin with a 6-woman tag match from SmackDown Live, just announced last night, actually. Your heel team is Alexa Bliss, your SmackDown Women's Champion, Mickie James, the object of Matt Rotella's crazed back-stretching eyes, and Natalia, the cat lady, against my girl, Becky Lynch, Nikki Bella, John Cena's girl, and Naomi, one of the Dopey Usos girls. This will be a fun match. I think you'll get a good 7-8 minutes out of this match. I do. You got enough girls in it to keep it going, and Mickey is going to be awesome. I think the heels win. I think Alexa Bliss pins Naomi, and the heels win. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, I think I'll go with the face team on this one. Okay. They got the star power on that side with Nikki and Becky. And, well, you know, now that you think about it, Naomi's on that team, so you know, you might be right. She's probably there to eat the pin, and so you know, maybe I'll flip back and go the other way and say the heel team has this. You know, as my thought process is live on air, clearing through the brainwaves here. You know. We got it going on with the heel team here. Probably, like you said, Alexa Bliss taking out Naomi after their confrontation on SmackDown.
Hmm. Okay. Reesh, what do you think?
I like the heel team winning where, Natalia kind of suckers Nikki into being over-aggressive and gets her with a roll-up or something with the tights or something like that. But let me just say this. If you take the composite of those 6 girls... Talent-wise, compared to, you know, Bayley, Sasha Banks, Charlotte, Nia Jax even, Like, I don't think it compares. I really don't. Like, I think that, I mean, Mickie James is really good. She's, you know, been around. Alexa Bliss is fantastic. And Becky Lynch is, like you've always said, the sting of the women's division in both good ways and bad. But here's the thing. Composite-wise, talent-wise, it's not really a matchup. But why are the SmackDown women so much more entertaining? I'm honestly asking you.
Because they've been, there's more layers on SmackDown Live with the women. I feel like we had this conversation on the last show. I think it was with JD and Logan. I think the problem is Raw has focused solely on Charlotte and Sasha that. Really, you haven't seen much growing of the rest of the division. Whereas on SmackDown Live, it has been multi-layered. It's been uprooted. You see more women on SmackDown besides Becky Lynch and Alexa Bliss. You've seen...
Which is ironic because SmackDown was a show that people criticized because they didn't have actual women's matches the first 2 weeks. They had schmazes and segments.
Right. And they had the multi-person matches, and they've had secondary and tertiary feuds. Where Raw has been pretty much Sasha and Charlotte with some Bayley sprinkled in.
Yeah, actual promos where people actually like emote and get violent with one another.
Right.
Which is what women's wrestling is supposed to be.
Correct.
You know?
I agree.
It's like as much as people kind of cringe at the Nikki Bella Naomi merchandise stand segment, I loved it. You know why? Because they're kicking each other's ass. That's the point of this, you know?
Yep, I agree. And I think it's going to be a fun match. I think all six girls are going to really fight hard. I think it's going to be a good 8 or 9 minutes. And I like the heels. Now, I'm not trying to persuade you, Chris. If you like the baby faces, I mean, what do you think? Because the baby faces really don't have – the heels don't really have a – I mean, Natalya, I guess, could eat a pin, I suppose. I don't know. What's your final pick? Do you like the heels? I don't want to sway you. Only Bobby Roode. I only wanted you to change your mind on Bobby Roode, and you didn't do that. So if you'd like to change You could, but what do you think?
Well, on paper, I see Nikki Bella, Becky Lynch on the face side, and on the other side, Alexa Bliss, the SmackDown Women's Champion. I don't really consider Natalya, you know, not at this point in her career. She's not, like, upper echelon as far as star power goes. So on paper, you know, you think it sways a little bit towards the face side, but... Their anchor, you know, not their anchor, but their weak link is Naomi. I mean, she hasn't really done much in terms of, I don't guess she's been out with an injury.
She just came back and they were sort of teasing something with her and Alexa, which I guess would be the bridge for Elimination Chamber into Mania while Becky feuds with Mickey. But that's just my speculation.
Hmm. Yeah. And you know, Alexa Bliss on SmackDown is, she's killing it right now. So I think, you know, this really is a match that's more centered around her angle, her potential angle with Naomi. I think the whole Natalya Nikki thing will be touched on, and they might even, you know, you're going to get a schmoz. It's inevitable in these multi-person matches, and everyone will pair off. And I really think, you know, after thinking about it, Naomi's the one who eats the pin in this one.
And I want to finish off with this. Even though it's kind of on a smaller scale because it's, you know, SmackDown Women's Division, Mickie James as the reveal as Alexa, as La Luchadora, it was like one of the most satisfying reveals in wrestling I've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
It was one of those ones where you really were like, good job, you know, bravo. You know?
Yeah. They did a great job in building that.
Matt Ritello was cheering at his couch.
Yes, he was. He was going crazy.
But indeed. I loved it. It was a very good payoff, a very good TV match payoff.
Yeah, I thought so. I thought it was too. It's good to have her on the roster too. She's good for SmackDown Live. I could just see her getting lost on Raw because they're not booking the women that way on Raw that they are on SmackDown Live. So I like seeing her on SmackDown.
Well, the men and the women.
Well, we'll get to that as we continue on with our predictions. All right, our first of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five championship matches. Did I count that right? 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, if you count our match from earlier. So our second of five championship matches. We have the Cruiserweight Championship on the line, the Purple Belt, your champion, a guy that has kind of grown on me. My favorite Cruiserweight from the beginning of the tournament was Cedric Alexander, and that's because of my bias from loving him in Ring of Honor. But this guy's growing on me. I love Rich Swann. I really do. He's a good worker in the ring. I kind of dig his charisma. Taking on what everybody calls the roided elf, and that is Neville, who is actually, I kind of dig it. It's almost like Cruiserweight with roid rage, which is what I feel he is. So
he's like the king of the Cruiserweights.
He's the king of the roided Cruiserweights. But I think it fits him to be this guy who's like all jacked up and everything and thinks he's going to mangle all these other guys. Having said that, I don't know if he's going to win. He probably will. I'll go with Neville because I think he'll hold it for a while. I think the belt could use some nice heel stability while other guys are moving up the ladder. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, I agree. Neville's going to take the title from Rich Swann. Since his return, he's just been like the badass of the division. He's not taking shit from anybody, and he's backing up everything he's saying. And so I really think that entire division, you know, it's been a struggle trying to get them over. Mm-hmm. Even with, you know, the little personality profile interviews that they give and trying to give them angles and whatnot. But I think Neville's the guy. You put the title on him and have everybody try to beat him so that inevitably, you know, when someone does, it'll become a big deal. So I really think, you know, Neville's the guy that just might take the whole division to the level that, you know, they've been shooting for.
Mm. Okay. Rish, what do you think?
I'm just glad we're showcasing this title match for the Royal Rumble instead of Cedric Alexander versus Noam Dar with Alicia Fox in the middle, which is like worst feud. I'm not trying to totally sugarcoat. It's just one of the worst feuds.
It was trash.
I think Alicia Fox knows it. Like, I think they realize, okay, we got to go. Like, you remember NXT The Game Show? Like, kind of like that far. Like, if we're going to be really dumb, we're going to go all the way dumb, you know, because that's how Vince wants it. Vince wants us to be characters, so let's be stupid, zany characters,
right.
You know. And, like, for Gallagher and the other guy, Daivari, like, it works sometimes if you kind of put a different mix on it, but to the title match. The thing about Rich Swann that does make him entertaining, even though it's not, he's not like the strongest champion, he's not the guy that you thought would be the champion necessarily going into 205 Live. It's kind of like when Rey Mysterio was the world champion on SmackDown, is that the one entertaining part about Rich Swann being the champion is that you literally do not know when he's going to drop the belt. Like, he could literally drop it. Like, I remember Neville wrestled Swann, I think, a week or two ago on 205. I was almost sure he was going to lose.
Right.
He was going to lose the belt. So for Neville going into this, you know, I really don't know who's going to win.
Right.
You know, but I'll go with Neville here. But it's a 50-50 shot.
Okay. I think Neville's going to win. I think he's going to win the belt. And I think – and it's no knock on Swann. I think they wanted to eventually get it on Neville so we can have some heel stability, you know, maybe have some good matches on 205 Live. Maybe, you know, we have a pay-per-view coming up. March 5th is Raw's pay-per-view, Fastlane. Elimination Chamber on February 12th is SmackDown Live's pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Even though they're on.
I want to like 205 Live, but I just can't. Like, I want
to
like.
All right, we'll get to that. That's another discussion for another day.
Yeah.
I mean, I have no problem with it. It's a fine show. But my point is, Fastlane, which is March 5th, that's Raw's WrestleMania pre-show. So I'm sure there'll be a Cruiser title match that night, and we'll see if it's a Neville Swann rematch or whatever. So I think Neville wins tonight, and if he doesn't, or not tonight, Sunday, and if he doesn't, he'll win it at Fastlane. But I have a feeling he's going to win it on Sunday. All right, next, a match that I think's kind of shocked people because I thought this would be your match at WrestleMania, unless they do a rematch of a stip. The Raw Women's Championship's on the line. Your champion is Charlotte, and it is pay-per-view, and she's taking on Bayley. I think everybody thought this was going to be your WrestleMania main event or WrestleMania women's title match. I think Charlotte wins because I think they want to keep the pay-per-view streak going, and I think she wins. I think she wins clean, to be honest with you. What do you think, Rish?
Yeah, I see the reason. I mean, it's like we keep saying, like, you're getting this close to WrestleMania. Do you want to burn off like that whole idea that Charlotte never loses at a pay-per-view show? You know, all the, you know, and just like end it on a show right before you get to WrestleMania so that you don't have that storyline that you can hang over somebody. And for Charlotte, you know, it's something where she's I wouldn't call her like the most dominant female performer in the WWE, but she's close. Like, it's one of those things where even though she traded the titles with Sasha Banks, it's just like Charlotte's she's the girl at Raw. She is the poster child. So almost more than even Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns, to be honest with you. But for Bayley, here's the other thing. In terms of matches being entertaining on Raw, not necessarily when they were on NXT together, but on Raw, not so much. I want to see him have a really good, you know, straightforward match. We've really yet to see one that I really, really like between the two. And this is just kind of like the window dressing to build into Mania, where we have all four of the women from the Raw side, which is Charlotte, Bayley, Sasha Banks, and Nia Jax.
Okay, Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, I give this one to Charlotte. It's going to be probably going to be a heck of a match, to be honest. But I think what they're probably going to do is maybe save the big Bayley win for Mania. I think they're probably going to, you know, just to talk ahead a little bit, I think they're going to do probably a Charlotte, Bayley, Nia Jax three-way at Mania. But I think the way the storyline is going here with, you know, Bayley, Charlotte thinking Bayley's practically just a child, you know, it's kind of going to be a struggle for Bayley, I guess, for storyline-wise, to try and prove herself against Charlotte. And I really think that you know, they want to keep the pay-per-view streak going, like you said there, Scott. So I think Charlotte takes this.
Okay. I think Charlotte takes it, too. Next, maybe the co-main event, because I feel like, and I was saying this to a couple people today at work, I feel like Raw has focused on the Rumble match. SmackDown Live has focused on this match and not necessarily the Rumble. Your WWE World Championship match, your champion, he's had it since Backlash. He's easily 2016's Wrestler of the Year, yeah. AJ Styles, taking on for the 5 zillionth time. I shouldn't say that. It's what, like the fourth time on pay-per-view, I think? Or fifth?
This is the one I want to see.
And yeah. That is AJ Styles and John Cena. I saw this match live in Brooklyn in August. It was the match of the weekend, even though... the night before, well, yeah, it was close, because the night before, DIY and the Revival at Brooklyn 2 was fucking amazing. This match was great as well. Here's the thing. Everybody seems convinced that Cena's winning Sunday. Now, apparently Cena and Taker at 33 has already been flushed on the toilet. So, and I don't think it's going to happen either, because the bullshit that they did the last time they were in New Orleans ruined anything that Cena Taker would have done. And I'll argue that point to the end. Cena Taker is dead. And you could thank WrestleMania 30 in Rish's hammock because of it. Because
that's a very big hammock. Yeah.
It's a huge hammock. Because they gave it to the wrong guy. Just my opinion. I'll still fight. And you and I, Rish, at least I have the one guy on our show tonight that actually agrees with me.
It's an off topic, but streak never should have ended.
Should have ended. And you had Cena Taker, which would have been a fucking amazing WrestleMania match that honestly no one gives two shits about now. Honestly, they don't. So if that match is indeed dead for April 2nd in Orlando, then what's the point of Cena winning then? So I am actually going to be in the minority, and I think AJ retains the title on Sunday. Chris?
Yeah, this one's been hard for me to figure out. I mean, this could go in any direction. AJ Styles, hottest wrestler on the roster for, what, the last 9-10 months at least. Mm-hmm. Cena's been, you know, his promo work has been really strong since coming back. I mean, watching SmackDown and seeing him, you know, I know he's kind of cutting AJ down a little bit, kind of some douchey promos there, but they've been really good. And I just, I want to say that Cena's going to win, because if he loses, what do you do with him? I just, and I guess you could put AJ in the same boat. If AJ loses the title, what's going to be his Mania program? Are they just going to suddenly like throw AJ into like a multi-man ladder match for the Intercontinental title or something like that? That doesn't seem right. I think AJ's WrestleMania bound with the title in hand, so that you know, a loss at Mania for AJ will be a bigger deal. I'm really still 50-50 on this one. Even thinking about it right now, it's like this can go in any direction. I kind of tend, I think the scales tip a little bit in Cena's favor, just based on the fact that they're gonna give him the record title reign, and that's how difficult it is. I'm having trouble, you know, phrasing how I feel about this match. It's just tough one to call.
Hmm. Reesh, what do you think?
Well, a few things. We talked about SmackDown Women, and I asked you about what's made them so entertaining. And you said that, well, it's because they layer the storytelling, which is what gives you that sort of like investment into watching it, because you feel like you know, when you put that much like thought into it, that it pays off. Which is true, you know. Good storytelling, you know, brings in like the fans. It ropes you in. It really feels that way, not only with just John Cena versus AJ Styles, but really a lot of the SmackDown brand and the storylines. Because, like, you know, to kind of throw out an old term, you know, from Stephen Colbert, it feels like all these feuds, especially Cena and Styles, has like a lot of truthiness. Where, you know, where when Cena's going on a promo, like like Chris was bringing up how like he just dives in, like, you know, I'd never had to be in the indie scene because I was too good for it. You're not even at the level below me. I mean, just like going off on him about how, you know, he was on top all the time, and the reason why AJ never got there is because he wasn't at his level. AJ, you know, always telling Cena that he, you know, he takes him for granted all the time, and he's going to prove him wrong. And you can go so many different directions with it, with just this match, because you could, like Chris was saying, you could have Cena be the 16-time world champion and set Ric Flair's record and all that stuff, and you have that in your back pocket. Or you can just have AJ be the guy that John Cena can't beat. And that has even more merit to me than Cena just winning the championship as a placeholder for whatever they want to do at WrestleMania with him as a WWE champion, which is fine. Like, John Cena winning the championship off of AJ Styles would not, like, make me mad. You know, it's like, it's something where if it happens, it's an acceptable result, because we're going to get a great, great match. And if Cena wins, he'll have deserved it, because he proved to AJ that he can beat him, you know, because he hasn't beaten AJ Styles yet. Mm-hmm. You know, and so there's just a lot of layers there, like we were saying, and it's just a really fascinating match. I'll give you, I'll say this, I want AJ to win it, just so that they can have that storyline that AJ is the guy that Cena, he, like, that's his Vader, like that's Sting Vader, like Cena just can't beat him. Like, I think there's just a lot more there, and you could actually stretch that out a couple of more months, even into Elimination Chamber, depending on what you do with that. Mm-hmm. But boy, I mean, if they have the kind of match at the Royal Rumble that they had at SummerSlam in the mid-card, oh my God, they're going to blow that Alamo Dome off, the roof off.
I agree.
I'll say this too. You can make the case, just like kind of like with Sid and Sean, you know, flu-ridden Sean, mm-hmm. in 97. Maybe. I don't think it's going to happen, because the format has shown that since 2014. But I can make the argument that Cena, AJ could actually close the show.
Depends who wins a Rumble. We'll get to that in a minute,
yeah.
Though. I like AJ to retain, because there's something, and I was really paying attention to it. Today I was watching Talking Smack, and AJ was on, and AJ was, he wasn't acting heelish. He was offended. Like, you know,
he showed that in the promo. He wasn't like mad, like character mad. He was more like taken aback.
Yeah, like, what the fuck did you just call me? Like, what? Like,
yes.
You're not good enough for armories and high school gyms? Like, who the fuck are you, prototype? You know what I mean? You were working at some scum, some shitbag gym.
you know, fucking workout gym in Venice. Like, you know, like,
that's what makes it so satisfying. There's shades of truth to it. Everything that people have fed into on the internet about why they hate John Cena and why we cheer for the indie guys to beat John Cena. This is it. This is like the this is the storyline.
I really think something's in the works here. Mm-hmm. Because if you watch Talking Smack, and please chime in any time, Chris. At some point, I think a script flipped on the promos on SmackDown and on Talking Smack. I think AJ was like, you know what? Fuck him. You know, you guys can hate me if you want, but at least I'm real with you guys. I am great. I worked my ass off the last 12. I worked in that fucking dumpster in Orlando, and that stupid bitch and her stupid company that ran my promotion. You know, I had to deal with all that crap. This asshole came from a gym, hung out in OVW, and now he thinks he's the king shit because he's banging this hot chick on Total Divas. And you guys are booing me? You know what I mean? You had to watch, yeah, please, before Sunday, listeners, watch Talking Smack if you haven't yet.
Great show.
Because AJ is more than heelish. He's offended. And I think there's truth to it. Because it's one thing for AJ, it's one thing for the fans to be like, yay, John Cena, you're the guy who's here and, you know, you don't want to leave. And AJ's a bad guy to, well, you know, John, you're kind of being a dick. You know? What do you think, Chris?
Well, yeah, it's a great story. Definitely. You know, AJ, the way he came up and, like you said, you know, the indie superstar and coming up through TNA and all the crap that went on there. Meanwhile, here's John Cena, plugged into the machine almost from day one. This is part of it that kills me. Is like, I want AJ Styles to win just like everyone else does. John Cena's shtick through the years, it kind of wore on people. You know, when he disappears for a while, like he did this most recently, and he comes back, you're kind of glad to see him. But then he starts pulling stuff like this again, where he starts, you know, how he's talking to AJ, you know, talking down, AJ's not on his level. And it kind of does want you to see AJ, you know, beat Cena for that reason.
Yeah.
It's the most heelish John Cena I've ever seen.
Right.
As a face.
Yeah, and you know, Cena's the machine, AJ is the man, and I really, we know how we want it to play out on screen, but, you know, in the end, is the machine going to get its way? You know what I mean? It's just, this is the part that kills me, is because I just don't know which direction that they're going to go in with this.
I don't either. But I have a feeling AJ's winning Sunday. And then from there, maybe you start to see it mount. Like, he comes out next Tuesday night and goes, wasn't I supposed to win? I'm supposed to win. When I lose to a guy multiple times, I'm supposed to win. Why didn't I? You know? Almost like, remember when he lost to AJ at SummerSlam and he gave that weird, like, Randy Savage Savage WrestleMania 7 look kind of thing? Yeah, there's a story there. I'm sticking to it. And I think AJ retains the title. All right, let's go to Raw. Let's go to the Red Belt, which has its own set of problems. A no-disqualification match for the Universal Championship. And Chris Jericho will be suspended in a shark cage. Like Jim Cornette. It is Kevin Owens. It is Roman Reigns. I want to like this match, because I like both guys. I both think they're good wrestlers. This should be a good match. Why won't it be? But it will be. I don't know. There's nothing wrong with them. They're both good workers. I don't know what to think. Rish, you first.
Well, I mean, they're more than capable of having good matches. I'm pretty sure that Owens and Reigns were the main event of Roadblock, right? Yes. And it was a good, entertaining little match. It had a different angle with the Jericho, like, will he or won't he thing, whereas this one he's firmly on his side, but he's suspended in a shark cage like Richard Dreyfuss in Jaws, only the opposite direction. You know, trying to help out Kevin Owens, but he can't get to him, and I'm sure they'll pull some kind of shenanigan there. I mean, maybe we're just kind of spinning our wheels so that we can wait for the blow-off between Owens and Jericho, which we've teased at, but then you really do it at Mania. But that would kind of use Roman Reigns as sort of like just a bridge. And we all know that Raw loves Reigns. Like, they want Reigns to be the guy. They want Reigns to be legitimate, be the title, be the one who can take that title. And, you know, which is funny because they took the U.S. title off of him to make the feud seem to matter even more. You know, but then again, you put the U.S. champion again in a shark cage. So, but I don't know. I think they'll have an entertaining match. Okay, I don't know if it's amused or just kind of like befuddled by the whole direction of the feud. It's so rawish. Like if I found out that Brian Gewirtz was back with the WWE, I'd be like, that's the feud he wrote. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just kind of reeks of that. But they can have a fun match. I think Owens will win it. I don't see Roman Reigns winning the belt off of him, but you know, they might surprise me. You know, it wouldn't shock me if Roman Reigns won, but I have a pretty decent amount of confidence that Owens will keep the belt.
Cage in the water. They're in the water. Sharks in the water. Our shark. I love Robert Shaw. Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, let me just start off by saying that watching Raw these past several months has just made me really hate to see Kevin Owens as the Universal Champion. This whole storyline with him and Jericho is just has mid-card stapled all over it. This is not a storyline I think that the Universal Champ should be involved in. You know, Kevin Owens himself, you know, when he broke on the scene and had his feud with Cena, he had a bit of a rebellious badass tone to him, but I mean, now he's just you know, a whiny bitch. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I'd really, really want to see that title taken off KO. I think Roman Reigns is going to take it. Roman Reigns is going to win the title. Not that I want to see that, but I mean, it's probably the best option for the Raw brand right now is just to take the whole Kevin Owens, Chris Jericho thing down a notch, probably off the main event scene. And build Roman Reigns back up into a main event title program with, well, we'll talk about this in a little bit, but whoever the winner of the Royal Rumble is going to be.
Mm-hmm. I don't think Roman Reigns is going to win it. I think Owens does keep it. I don't think this title match is going to headline Mania. I think the other belt will headline Mania anyway. So I feel like Raw, in that sense, has a little more flexibility because this match is not going to end the show. I think SmackDown's belt's going to end the show, my personal opinion, at WrestleMania. So I think Owens retains, and I have an odd outside dark horse to face Kevin Owens at WrestleMania. He's not going to win the Rumble. He's not going to win the Rumble because I think the Rumble winner is going to face AJ. But I think this guy gets the number one contender slot and will face Kevin Owens at WrestleMania. Should I say it now? Yeah, I'll say it now. Sami Zayn.
I mean, obviously, with their feud, it makes sense. If you wanted to go that,
because way. I have a feeling Roman Reigns is destined for something else. I'll get to it in a minute. All right. Finally, now I'm not sitting. I'm not totally sold on that, but I just have a funky feeling. But but we'll see.
I've got one for you too for the match we're about to talk about.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Finally, of course, the headline thing, and I got to be honest with you, Reesh, I think this is going to end the show, regardless of how good Cena AJ is. This is going to end the show. This Rumble is too star-studded to not end the show. You know what I mean?
It's got some star power.
There's way too. We got this is like 2002 or even 1992. There's a lot of star power in this Rumble, and we only got 20. There's still 8 open slots. Here's who's right now. Here are your 22 guys so far, and there's 8 slots left. Obviously, we got some NXTs, maybe some other returns. We'll see. Goldberg, for the Raw side, we have Goldberg, Brock Lesnar, Big E, Kofi Kingston, Xavier Woods, in other words, the whole New Day, Chris Jericho, Braun Strowman, Cesaro, Sheamus, so they're actually doing double duty on Sunday, Big Show, Sami Zayn, Big Cass, and Rusev. On the SmackDown side, Baron Corbin, Dean Ambrose, The Miz, Dolph Ziggler, Bray Wyatt, Randy Orton, Luke Harper, and God help us, Mojo Rawley. And then
hey, I like Mojo.
And then you would. And then other, The Undertaker. Since the rumor is very strong, we are not having Cena Taker. I don't see Taker winning anymore. So I want you to give me your pick to win. I want you to give me 4 picks, okay? Okay. Who will win? Who will be number one? Who will last the longest, or who will be in the longest, and who will be the diesel? I mean, who will eliminate the most guys? The Jesus push. So I want you to give me a winner. Who will be number one? Who gets the Jesus push, meaning who will eliminate the most guys, and who will be in the longest? Chris, I'll start with you.
Okay, for a winner, I'm kind of leaning towards Goldberg. I think Goldberg's going to win, get the title shot at Mania. He'll probably sit out the pre-Mania show and await the winner. I got Goldberg winning the Rumble.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I like it. Okay.
Okay. So, number one, why the hell not? Let's go with Brock. Put Brock in at number one. Let him destroy a couple of guys to... I also think he's going to get the diesel push. So... we'll combine my one guy into 2 picks there. So Brock comes in at number one, gets a diesel push. He's going to
You think he's going to eliminate the most guys? Do you think he's going to be in the longest? Because I'm asking for 2 different things.
No, I think he's not going to be in the longest, but he's going to come in at number one, and he'll probably be the roadblock for the first, say, 9 or 10 guys.
Okay.
Right?
I like that.
Then it'll be kind of okay. I'd be okay with that booking. Give Brock the super push there at the beginning of the match, first third of the match or so. And then I think the guy that'll be in the longest, you know, I got to go with Sami Zayn. You know, he's a marathon man. He's used to going along. So put him in at, say, I don't know, have him come in at number 10. And, you know, he'll be in the final four.
Okay. So you're looking at a Goldberg-Roman Reigns match at WrestleMania?
I am.
Oh, Fear the Spear. Fear the Spears.
Fear the Spears. imagine they give each other concussions. Could you imagine?
Spear each other at the same time.
Spear each other at the same time. It'd be like Brock and Goldberg at 20, and then they'll just lie there for 9 minutes. all right, Rish, give me your winner. Who's number one? Who's in the longest? And who eliminates the most?
Okay, for number one, I'm really sorry about this. I'm going to give you a winner, but I do want to cheat with a dark horse, if you don't mind.
You always need to break the
about an unannounced spot.
Shut
okay?
up. Okay, no, go ahead.
Okay. My winner is Dean Ambrose. From the listed participants, I think Dean Ambrose will win and challenge AJ, if AJ retains. My dark horse, if he's in it and they go with it, is Finn Balor. I think Finn Balor could win the Rumble and challenge Owens at WrestleMania.
That is a good. That's a good call. There's 8 slots left, and we're out of shows. So,
and we heard nothing about Balor, which gives me the sense that something might be happening.
Is he healed? I mean, it's been
That's what it is. We don't have any. We saw him at the UK thing. You know, but that's all we saw.
October, November, December. I mean, it's been 5.5 months of healing.
Yeah.
And he didn't have a sling on when they did the whole UK, when they were pimping that tournament. He did not have a sling on. You know, that cushion thing he was You know, the cushion thing with the styrofoam, whatever the fuck it was that holds your arm.
Yeah.
He didn't have it, so.
There's not a lot of smoke to the fire of the Demon King, but, you know, you never – that's just a dark horse. But okay. I think Dean Ambrose – if for the ones that I know of that are definitely in it, Dean Ambrose is winning. Brock and Goldberg are getting each other out. I can see Undertaker being eliminated by, let's say, a surprise Roman Reigns participant or something like that. What's the second one that you said that I had to pick?
Who's number one?
Number one, I'll say Big E, and then he has to, and then number two is Kofi King.
Oh, so we're gonna have a Diesel or a like, Demolition 89.
That's the Demolition spot.
Okay, all right.
Hey, they just passed up Demolition, so let's make him be Demolition. Jesus push Braun Strowman. I mean, he'll be the guy that eliminates like seven or eight dudes, you know, and he'll be. I don't want to say he'll be in there for very long. I mean, Kane is like. I got to tell you, Kane in 01 is like one of the most underrated performances ever, because not only was it the Jesus push of the Rumble, he was in there the longest. You know, it's probably his greatest performance as a wrestler, you know. I don't see that with Braun. I can see him eliminating a ton of people, but I don't see him lasting the longest. The longest lasting guy, I think, will be The Miz. I just got a feeling The Miz will be in there early, and he's just going to hang around, you know. And I think that's all four of them, right? Or
yep, that's all of them. That's all of them.
So there you go. Dean, Dark Horse, Finn Balor. The Miz will last the longest. Braun Strowman gets the Jesus push, and Big E starts first.
Okay. I actually think Finn Balor is going to win the Rumble.
Oh,
I think
yes.
He's coming back. I think he's coming back, and I think he's going to win. Number one will not be him, because I think they're going to be ginger with him. I think he's going to come out at like 25 or 26.
The edge. It's called the edge spot.
The edge spot, right.
Yeah.
Number one, Number one is Kofi. Two is Xavier Woods, and three is Big E. I think New Day all come out at the... I'm going to even take you one step further. I think they all come out at the same time.
And they all just dance for like two or three minutes.
Exactly, yeah. Nah, my number one is going to be a surprise person. I won't say who, but I think it'll be a surprise person. Maybe a NXT guy or something. I think a number one guy is somebody that's not on this list yet. So, Jesus push, I agree with you, Rish. I think it's going to be Braun Strowman. I think he eliminates 9 or 10 guys. And the length...
It's hard because a lot of these guys could go the distance.
I like Miz. I agree with you. I think Miz is going to act like Lawler in 97 and hide under the ring or whatever the hell he did, or 98 or 96.
What about Road Dogg?
Holding onto the post.
Yeah, hang around in the corner of the hole.
Yeah, I like that. I like that.
I'll give you two possibilities. What about Baron Corbin lasting the longest, even though he's also a big guy? And then you Braun, Baron Corbin stare down kind of thing.
I could see that.
You know, that
Baron Corbin, believe it or not, Baron Corbin's growing on me. I fucking hated him in NXT.
I love his persona. It's an I don't give a fuck persona.
It really is an I don't give a fuck persona. And it's actually, and he's another guy. Let me tell you something, but I want to do a little tangent for a minute.
Okay.
Talking Smack has done a lot for guys' characters. Even more than SmackDown Live itself. Those interviews with Renee and either Daniel or Shane. I think they've really helped guys, and I think it's helped Baron Corbin more than anybody else.
And that's why you got to give a lot of credit to the talent too, because let's be serious about Talking Smack. If you watch them, they only get bullet points from Vince or whoever the writers are in the headset. These are not written scripted shows. People just go off the cuff.
Yep.
And they did Talking Raw, and outside of Jericho, who's just like the greatest. And Kevin Owens, like, they're not really fun. The Talking Raw was not fun to talk. Like, they didn't – that's why it didn't last. Talking Smack's fun because you got to give credit to the wrestlers that are in SmackDown because they're making the most out of it.
Right, exactly.
You know?
And I think – and Baron Corbin has kind of won me over a little bit. I'm not going to lie, you know? I hated him in NXT. I kind of hated him when he came up, but he's growing on me. I don't know why. But – so I like – and to win – yeah, I'm going to stick with Finn. Because Finn Owens seems like a great match at WrestleMania once he's healthy.
It's what they wanted all along.
A Raw guy A Raw guy is going to win. A Raw guy is going to win the Rumble because I don't think the title will be on the line in Elimination Chamber. I think it'll be a number one contender's Elimination Chamber. My opinion. But or did they already say that the chamber is going to be for the title?
Didn't they already announce it?
Shane already said it. That's right. Never mind.
And this is really smart and, like we said, multi-layered about SmackDown is that even on the go-home show of the Royal Rumble, they just put that little seed in there of, like, looking forward to Elimination Chamber. So that there's something, like, so that the Elimination Chamber match, hey, is actually important on SmackDown.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
Whereas, like, with Raw, like you said, it's about the Rumble, you know?
Yeah, go ahead, Chris, what were you saying?
I was going to say you had that segment, I think it was SmackDown last week, with Dean in the back talking to Shane, asking to be placed in the Elimination Chamber. I mean, Ambrose wanted his chance to jump in there, so, I mean, it makes it seem like a big deal.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. So there are your picks for the Royal Rumble this Sunday, from the Alamo Dome in San Antone. And it'll be pretty big. And then from there, we move ahead to the Elimination Chamber, as we've mentioned. It is the SmackDown Live pay-per-view. That'll be live from the Talking Stick Resort Arena. What a stupid fucking name. In Phoenix, Arizona, the old U.S. Air Arena.
Let me ask you this. I know you're big about the venues, you know, and so am I. I love, like, the setting, the atmosphere, all that stuff.
Yep, yep.
In 1997, they were kind of in a weird place because they hadn't, the ratings hadn't popped yet, you know, and the Attitude Era hadn't kicked off. But it felt like a big show because they hadn't been in front of a crowd like that for a really, really long time.
Correct.
Is it going to feel like that with this Royal Rumble and the Alamo Dome? Because the Alamo Dome, if you put it in the right setting with the right space, it feels like a big place sometimes. But there is a way of setting up the cameras and the tarping where it doesn't seem like a super huge venue. Do you feel like this will be like a big show, like a WrestleMania type of show for these competitors?
Well, you know there's going to be more people there Sunday than there was in 1997.
True.
There was 60,477 at the Rumble in 1997. I thought it was less. Wow.
And WrestleMania was in Chicago at the Rosemont Horizon.
In Chicago, right? Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So we'll get that amount on Sunday. I thought there was less. Mm-hmm. Wow, I forgot about that. Yeah, I think it'll add. I think it'll be a good crowd. And you know, WWE is now, since the network, they've been big on camera angles, particularly SmackDown, and making things look big. Like we're working on a WrestleMania project, and I was talking about big venues and things like that. In terms of camera angles, I got to give that bucktooth fuck Kevin Dunn a lot of credit because he made the Astrodome look like there was 75 billion people in it.
Well, the other reason why is because if you watch the entryway, they really did not eat up a lot of the space in the Astrodome. They literally filled that entire bowl with people.
Exactly.
It just looked like a sea of people.
Yeah, and also, they didn't make the stage that high. Like, I remember the following
yes,
year
exactly.
at 18, at WrestleMania 18 at Sky Dome, I felt like the stage went all the way to the roof.
Yeah, the worst was 26 in Glendale with the pyramids. Like, they literally sealed off one half of it.
Yeah.
They did the same in the Superdome, but like you said, they did the camera angles in a very nifty fashion where it didn't seem that noticeable.
Well, the weird thing about the Superdome is that the building's not big, but it was really high. Like, it was narrow and high.
Yeah,
when you were in there, did you get that feeling that this place is big, but it's not gigantic, but it's really high? That's what it looked like on TV.
Well, I've been there before, you know, for other shows, Saints games, where I'd walk in there and I'm like, this isn't the biggest place I've been in. But then when you start filling it with people and then that noise starts to kick in, you're like, oh, wow, this is a really cool atmosphere.
Right, exactly, you know? Exactly. So I think it'll be a cool atmosphere on Sunday. I think it'll be a cool atmosphere. So, yeah, so the next pay-per-view after that, Elimination Chamber in 2 weeks in Phoenix, and then Fastlane, which is the Raw pay-per-view, I don't think that is at the Bradley Center in Milwaukee, so they get the kind of the shittier venue.
Steve Willie alert
is in Milwaukee, and then, of course, WrestleMania is in
Camping World Stadium.
Camping World, another shitty fucking name for a place. in Orlando. Guys, great job. Thank you. Chris Jordan,
Nice debut performance, my friend. Very well done.
Yeah, very Thank good. You. I appreciate it.
You're better. You're excellent. You've been Gordon Duncan, and he's done 70 of these. All right. Reesh, go fuck off. I probably won't talk to you again. No, I'm only kidding. Reesh, always a pleasure, man. I haven't talked to you in a while. Guys, check out the NBA Team Podcast. Tremendous show. Lakers are in Portland tonight. I hope they get their ass kicked. Did you see the Golden State beat Charlotte tonight? KD had 33. Steph had 28. I don't know what
yeah,
Kemba,
he
I don't know what Kemba had. But.
He always shows off against the Hornets because his dad is the radio announcer or the TV announcer.
Yes.
So he always show off against his dad.
Love Dell. I don't know what Kemba had tonight, but what did Kemba have tonight? Did you see?
Not sure. Didn't see it.
Okay. Lakers are in Portland. They're probably going to get fucking slaughtered. All right. So we'll be back in 2 weeks because in 2 weeks we will preview Elimination Chamber. It'll be the Wednesday before. So we'll preview that pay-per-view from Phoenix. Don't know who we'll have on yet, but it'll be somebody cool as we always do. For Chris Jordan, for Andrew Reesh, I'm Scott Criscolo. You've been in the main event. Enjoy the Rumble. And remember... the Rumble. Have a good 2 weeks.
Shut up.
He doesn't even give you a chance. Hold on to it.